chapter 6, verse number 33. Liberating words of Jesus. Liberating words of Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I was in school in Oklahoma, it was over the time of Desert Storm. And there was a word that was used that impacted my life then, because I'd heard the word before, but I really didn't understand it then, until then. They were people that were under bondage to another group of people. And they, one of the things that was said in school as we were praying, and something had happened in the country, in those desert countries, and it said that those people had been liberated. You know, there was a time in our culture, in this country, that women would go around without their undergarments under their clothes because they had been liberated in their minds. Now, all they had done was pull off a piece of clothing because they said that they didn't have to wear it anymore, because they weren't in bondage anymore. But this liberated has something to do that was so much greater than just pulling off an article of clothing. When a person is truly in bondage to something, and then they have been set free by the power of God, and they've been set free to the point that they know that they've been set free, there's something that changes inside of that individual. And there's a great appreciation and there's a great love to the one who has liberated them. One of the places that we find out that we have to be liberated from, that has so much of an impact in our life, is when we're liberated from our own self. That self has been the one who's been calling all of the shots. Everything that I do, my flesh or my mind tells me that's what I've got to do. And for to find out that God can take and has the ability and the power to liberate us from our own self is such a great revelation. But this arid country, this group of people, they said, the war was over. These people have been liberated. And I just saw it in a different light that day when I heard those words, that these people had been liberated. And God has liberated us. And a lot of times we don't even know, because we've not experienced his love that in the level that we know that it's impacted us. It's like, so many times our relationship with God is viewed like this, and you've heard me say this before. It's viewed like an insurance policy. And they want enough of God just to keep them out of hell, but never been really liberated from themselves. No, they don't want to go to hell, and thank God that people don't want to go to hell, and that Jesus has made a way so that people don't have to go to hell. But there's so many people that are still so bound by their own self and their own flesh and their own mind of things that they've walked in the past that have had such a stronghold on their life, not even knowing that God has done something for them. Let me give you a picture from my own life. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went to a dinner over here at Philippi at their Family Life Center. About a month before that, one of my classmates, Eva Spear, had sent, give me a call and text, and said, Marky Woodard's going to be preaching a revival over here at Philippi, and we would like to plan a surprise dinner that he doesn't know about. And then after the dinner, said we'll all take him, we'll go over to the church and we'll have worship service with him. Well, I hadn't seen Mark but about two times since we graduated. That's been a long time ago. And we were in Boy Scouts and all together. We've known him pretty much all my life. But you know, there's a way that when you grow up and people go their different ways that you just don't see. And I was looking forward to being able to see everybody. And we had a beautiful time, and it was a surprise for him that he didn't know. He knew that they were going to have a dinner, but he thought it was for everybody. He didn't know it was going to be for just his classmates. So it was like a class reunion, per se, that was taking place. Well, one of the things that came up in conversation is, when we were in Boy Scouts together, we went camping down in Columbia. Diane, you don't know where this place is. Down there where J.D.'s Marina was over here on the left, but they had a path between it and then another path that cut off to the right. And there was a place that was back there that had a swimming pool and a campground. Well, we were camping there one night, and we got this, we woke up there, and you know how boys will be boys. Does anybody know what I mean by boys will be boys? And they had a rowboat that was there. And we got up in the wee hours of the morning. Now, I can see you mamas. Oh my God. And Brenda, we got that rowboat. And we paddled from there up to the bridge and back. It seems like a long way, but it's really not that far. But in the dark, and boys being boys. And one of my classmates said, David, he said, you swore so bad I said, I sure did. It's like every word that come out of my mouth almost was a cuss word. I was aware of it, but not able to change it. And at that particular time, I didn't really care if I did change it. But it wasn't long after that. And they asked me, he said, what did you do to stop that? I said, Jesus. And I gave Jesus all of the credit for it, because Jesus changed my life. See, there's a lot of times that people don't even know if they're born again or not, because there's still so much in tune with everything that the way that it was before, that they've not been liberated. They may have accepted Jesus, they may have professed him, but they're so trapped in their mind and in their bodies. Their flesh talks so loud to them that they have no clue. And he said, what did you do? I said, Jesus took that from me. And I know that he took it from me. Sammy's back there bobbing his head up and down because he knows. But brothers will be brothers, just like boys will be boys. And we was out there in the shop working one day, and they have kind of a way of just pushing you and pushing you and pushing you
Let me tell you a joke. They said the preacher had a bicycle. No, the little boy had a bicycle and the preacher had a lawnmower. And the little boy come to the preacher. They asked the preacher, he said, why don't you trade me that lawnmower? Let me trade you a lawnmower for that bicycle so I can ride with my friends. And preacher thinks about it. He says, well, okay, I'll do that. Here the little boy come pedaling up one day. Stops there with the preacher. The preacher's out there trying to get the lawnmower started. He said, how are you liking that bicycle? He said, I really like this bicycle. It's so nice to be able to ride with my friends. And he said, how you like that lawnmower? He said, I'm having trouble getting it started. He said, well, when my daddy would try to start it, he said, he would choke it. He said, I choked it some, but I still can't get it to start it. He said, after that, if my daddy couldn't get it after he had choked it, he would cuss it. And the preacher told the little boy, he said, well, son, I ain't cussed in so long, I about forgot how. He said, you keep pulling on that lawnmower, it'll come back to you. So I told one of my classmates there about the swearing part, because they were more graceful than I was. They called it, Elizabeth, they called it swearing. I call it plain old cussing. I have bad mouth.
Getting a bad battery, too.
I think Bobby must have gone to take care of that. Here, Bobby. Let me preach while you're doing that. So my classmates told me, said, David, you sure did swear. You know, a lot of times we're so ashamed of the way that where we were at that we won't even acknowledge it. But I said, I sure did. I sure did have a problem. And not only did I have a problem with that, I had a temper to go along with it. And most of the time, those two aren't two good ones to run with each other. A temper and a bad mouth. But he said, what did you do about it? I said, when I accepted Jesus, I said, Jesus did something in my life. And he liberated me from that bad mouth. Now, does that mean that you wouldn't have any occasions to be able to say a bad word? See, my mama, Lynn, would do things like this. Because she tried to drill it in us that it wasn't right to talk that way. Anybody in here ever had their mouth washed out with soap? I've been there. It's humiliating, but it don't do much for the language. Because it's deeper. It's not just on the surface. You can't just wash it off. But she was trying to make an impression. Sandy said that she had told her grandma, because she had a cousin that cussed that same way. And she said this bad word around her. Huh? Oh, she told her, Sandy actually said, he told her that it was so wonderful to have his mouth washed out with soap. So he went up to his grandmama, or she went to her grandmama and asked him, said, would you wash my mouth out with soap? Because her cousin had told her it was so wonderful to get her mouth washed out with soap.
Did you?
Her grandmama was smarter than that. She said, baby, you don't want to get your mouth washed out with soap. He don't get his mouth washed out with soap because it's so wonderful. He gets his mouth washed out with soap because his mouth is so nasty. See, brothers and sisters, God wants to change something inside of us. And he wants to change it to a level. Not that everybody else knows it. He wants everybody else to know it. But one of the first persons that it should dawn on should be us. That he's done that for me. And if I don't know that, I need to push in a little bit closer. Because I can promise you, if we don't know these things, our flesh and our mind is ruling us. And we don't even know it. Because we've not been liberated in our minds. So I told this classmate an experience that happened to me after that. I said, we was out there in the shop. And I said, our brothers will be brothers and they'll try to just egg you on. Just egg you on. You know what I'm talking about, Ronnie? Just push you. Just push you. Just keep needling you. Just keep needling you. You know, you can mess with a dog long enough and pick on him, he'll bite you. And they picked on me enough that I let word out that I didn't have no business letting out. Now, what was I going to do with that once it happened? I could go say, well, it was their fault for making me do that. And they had a part to play in it. But they're not in control of my life. And they're not in control of your life either. So, down the road and across the field was a way to get down to the river. And down at the river, after you go through a cow pasture, and I remember this so vividly, because here at this cow pasture that this man had, there was an electric fence that went across with a post that was here. And I would take and unhook the fence, lay it down on the ground, drive the vehicle through, get back and hook the fence back so that the cows wouldn't get out. And then I would drive down to the river bank. There was a canal here and a river here. And we had a little boat. And I'd go down there herring fishing or paddling. And just, I thought I was some great adventurer to be able to paddle down the river by myself. And it was just a place that I could be alone. But I remember that day when I stood there with that electric fence in my hand and my heart breaking because I had let words come out of my mouth that God had forgiven me for. And I asked him for his forgiveness. And I asked him for his help. And there was something that took place in me that day by the power of God. I can go back. I can go back to that day and know that it was a landmark in my life. Because
had taken authority, not even know that I was taking authority over something that was trying to get back into my life. By humbling myself before Almighty God. See, to really know if you're in love with God or not, it's quite easy to see. Let me ask you a question. How surrendered are you to Him? How subject are you to Him? That's how much your love for Him is. If there is no subjection to Him, there is no love for Him. If there's no humbling ourselves before Him, there's no love for Him. Because that love is measured by the way that we submit to Him. And that day I knew that I had missed it. And my heart was grieved because I had missed it. Come to know now that it was my own spirit that was condemning me. Because I missed it. It wasn't God condemning me. Because He don't play that role. But He forgave me that day. And Curtis, that was a landmark in my life. See, and I know that there's landmarks that He wants to make in every one of our lives. Because there's so many places where we go through things in life and we repeat them over and over and over and over again because we never come to the place that I'm truly sorry for it and I know that I need to change. Or I try to do it all on my own and I don't incorporate Him into the equation. But when He's in the equation, this is what our scripture is about today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. See, it takes a submission to Him. It takes a love for Him. We can measure our love by our submission. Now, going back to the title of what I had gotten for this, I said, when we don't know what to do, we know what to do. Let this one sink in. When we find ourselves in different situations and predicaments in life, or there's all there is questions. Anybody ever been there? That all that there is questions. Did you know that God's got a simple answer for us? When we don't know what to do, we know what to do. What should I do? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, let me help bring this home to all of us. So when we find ourselves in a place like that, and we don't know what to do, just like what I'm trying to teach myself and to teach us at the same time is, let's just stop a minute and lift up the name of Jesus. See, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You know on the inside, if you're born again, what to do. See, when you move into His presence moves those other things out. A lot of times what we try to do is we try to move the other things out without never moving in His presence. You can't do it. That's doing it in your own strength and in your own flesh. The best that it can do is produce pride and arrogance in us. But as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and subject ourselves to Him, that when we don't know what to do, we know exactly what to do. Seek first His kingdom. And you cannot seek first His kingdom without seeking Him. So, let's practice just a little bit. See, if you can practice it in a setting like this, you can practice it in a setting where my heart was breaking because I had been pushed to do something and words came out of my mouth that I was ashamed that they came out of my mouth. But what am I going to do with them after they've come out of my mouth? Am I going to justify myself and say it was their fault? Or am I going to take and bring myself into subjection? Is everything, every battle that I'm going to ever fight going to be dependent on what somebody else does or don't do in my life? No. It's going to be based on what I do. And what I do and how I respond is going to be what determines the outcome of this thing, not what they did. Were they wrong in what they did? Yes. Did they hear? Probably not. But that day, when I unhooked that fence, and I remember standing there at that post, broken, because I had missed God. Not even knowing then, but I know now that I stepped out of love and I let them control me. Not knowing that God would forgive me right then. He would restore me right then. I'm going to tell you what. It makes a lot better boat ride. Because then when you're paddling, you ain't wallowing. You know what I'm talking about? In your self-pity. Well, I missed it. God will never forgive me. Try. But if I wouldn't have took care of business right there at that post, there ain't no telling how far that thing would have haunted me. That's right. And I can guarantee you there's people that's in this room that's still being haunted by not submitting to God and wanting to have victory and will never have victory. Let me say it again. Will never have victory until they submit to God. Because there's something in every one of us that just wants to stand up and be its own man or woman. Bring it into subjection. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you bring it into subjection. If you want to be defeated in every walk of your life, just keep hanging on to it. Because there ain't going to be but two on. There's two thrones there that can be. There's one in your life. And what I mean by this is either you're going to sit on the throne or he's going to sit on the throne. But let me make my statement again. Our love for him is measured by our submission to him. little submission, little love. No submission, no love. Great submission, great love. We know what to do when we don't know what to do. Or when we don't know what to do, we know what to do. See, brothers and sisters, the answer is already inside of us. Now, let's practice a few minutes. This can change atmosphere. Because it takes submission to be able to do this. Help me.
Jesus.
Now, there may be times that you feel like this. I don't feel like saying Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's when you need to do it the most. That's when trouble is on the horizon and we don't even know it. So take and stop when you don't know what to do and bring God in on the picture. This is one way of seeking Him first. And as we seek Him first, just like things changed for me when I was there at that post unhooking that fence. The miracle, brothers and sisters, wasn't unhooking the fence and standing at the post and being in that certain spot. The miracle was I humbled myself under the hand of Almighty God. And what I'm saying is this. You can do it at a fence post. You can do it at a stoplight. You can do it in your chair. You can do it in your closet. You can do it at church. You can do it wherever you need to do it because you know what to do when you don't know what to do. And it changed my life. Because profanity is something that's removed from my talking vocabulary. Not because of David, but because of the power of God.
Amen.
You know what? Preachers don't need a foul mouth. Sunday school teachers don't need a foul mouth. Church members don't need a foul mouth. You know why? Because the devil's got a foul mouth. See, I live for him. But when Jesus came on the scene, brother, he ain't the one I live for no more. Amen? Because Jesus changed things. Stand with me. Pray with me and believe with me this morning. Father, I know a person's mouth ain't the only place that they can miss it. But I know this, that anywhere we do miss it, there's forgiveness in you. And I love you, Lord. I submit myself to you afresh and anew today. My will is to do your will. I want your ways to be my ways. And my ways to be your ways. And I want you glorified in every area of my life. So I lay myself down. I lay myself down on that altar before you. Take my life, Jesus. Use it. Do something with it for your glory. I want you to be honored. I want you to be honored. So forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we do these things, it opens up the avenue for answers to be able to flow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. One announcement. We won't be having service tonight.